All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton, and we are digging deeper into the Psalms, continuing to inch forward through Psalm 119. This week, looking at verses 113 to 144. Now that we've gone through and seen the light of God's Word, we now take a moment to see what other light from God do we want. And that is exactly what God tells Aaron to put upon the people of Israel at the end of every service, what you hear at the end of the divine service here at Our Savior. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. We pray for God's face to shine upon us. And we have that here in these sections of Psalm 119 today. So let's look at Samach section, verses 113 to 120. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your promise, that I may live, and let me not be put to shame in my hope. Hold me up, that I may be safe and have regard for your statutes continually. You spurn all who go astray from your statutes, for their cunning is in vain. All the wicked of the earth you discard like dross, therefore I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. I hate the double-minded. This comes out again and again, especially in the first and early second century writings known as the Apostolic Fathers. Especially if you look at the Didache and the Epistle of Barnabas and the Shepherd of Hermas, you have these things of not being double-minded, not being double-tongued, not trying to serve both God and man, but having one true aim, and that is loving the law of God. That is the blessing that the psalmist wants for himself and for us as we read these verses. He goes on to say, you are my hiding place and my shield. This is all over the Psalms, the idea of the hiding place, the refuge, the shelter. God is that shelter. He is that refuge, that hiding place. And He gives us that hiding place in His Word, in His law, in His instructions. But we can only take advantage of that refuge through the gospel, the other side of the Word. Not just taking what I'm supposed to do, but what Jesus has done. That we can only seek refuge. We can only imagine of God being a refuge if we have Christ as our Savior, the one who has died to forgive us our sins. Therefore, we pray, depart from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your promise, that I may live, and let me not be put to shame in my hope. This past Monday, we just got finished with the fourth commandment in the catechisms. That first commandment with the promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. We have this great promise that if we keep the commandments, if we keep the law, we will live long in the land God has given us. And we talked about it a week ago, we'll talk about it now again. Long life did not just mean 90, 100, 110 years on this earth. Long life truly means everlasting life with God in heaven. That is the promise given to us. And again, a promise we cannot fully grasp without the knowledge that that everlasting life comes to us through Christ, through His death, through His resurrection, through His interceding for us at the right hand of God right at this moment. If none of that happened, We have no hope in this life. We have nothing to look forward to. Because if that did not happen, all the rest of the Bible is a lie. Because everything points to those events as being the most critical events in all of human history. That is the fixed message of the Word of God. God seeking to have His face shine upon us through His Son. We continue on in verses 121 to 128. I have done what is just and right. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Give your servant a pledge of good. Let not the insolent oppress me. My eyes long for your salvation and for the fulfillment of your righteous promise. Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for the Lord to act, for your law has been broken. Therefore I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. Therefore I consider all your precepts to be right. I hate every false way. Although Psalm 119 does not have a superscription saying who wrote this, this section is the most Davidic of all of the sections in Psalm 119. Because we have many things pulled out from David's Psalms. Yes, David says, I have done what is just and right. Yes, he has sinned. But he has also done what is just and right as being empowered by the promise of the seed that would sit on the throne forever. That is the only way we can do anything just and right. Is through the power of Christ in us. So he says, give your servant a pledge of good. Show me a sign that says that I'm on the right track. Let me know that I am pleasing in your sight. We often want that. We want God to give us some sign, some big neon flashing lights in the sky telling us what job we are supposed to take, who we're supposed to marry, how many children we're supposed to have, all of these things that we have as major life decisions. Again, we want God to show us some signs, and we want the big flashy ones, and sometimes He doesn't, and sometimes we don't see the little signs that He gives us all around us every day, the little acknowledgments of His good favor toward us. And one of the ones that we most often overlook, we got out of bed this morning. I'm hoping that you did. I did. But got out of bed by myself and breathing on my own. No machine helping me to breathe. All of my joints are working at the moment, in acceptable fashion, not perfectly, a little bit of arthritis, but it's getting to be fall. What do you expect? Those are blessings that only come because God is gracious to us. It's not something we deserve. It's a gracious gift from Him. That is the pledge of good that we have. That many times we just overlook because, well, it's just ordinary. We want the extraordinary. But remember, when God chose people to do His will, Abraham, Noah, Moses, the apostles, they were all ordinary people. They all had ordinary lives before God called them. God's call did definitely change their lives drastically. But they were still just ordinary people. Because God deals with us in ordinary ways. Because we are ordinary people. And again, one that is very much in the eyes of David and in the words of David, deal with your servant according to your steadfast love. David is all about the steadfast love of the Lord being shown to his servants. And then verse 126, it is time for the Lord to act, for your law has been broken. Yes, God's law has been broken. It has been broken many, 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 many times. Even in the course of the 10 minutes that this podcast has been going on, we have broken God's law who knows how many times. It is time for God to act. And how does God act? He acts first by giving us the opportunity to repent of our sins. Gives us the opportunity to receive forgiveness through his Son. But then if we refuse that repentance, we refuse that forgiveness, yes, he brings out the judgment. And that is exactly what the psalmist does not want. He does not want to see the judgment of God poured out on anybody, even his enemies. Because when the wrath of God is poured out, there is no turning back. When the Lord acts and it's final, there is no second chance after that. So he says, therefore, I consider all your precepts to be right. I will follow you wherever you lead me. We move on in the next section, verses 129 to 136. Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name. Keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity get dominion over me. Redeem me from man's oppression, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your law. Very impactful words in here, especially once we get to those last two verses. Make your face shine upon your servant. My eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your law. Yes, we know people who will refuse to hear the word of God, who refuse to hear the gospel and believe it, who refuse to have anything to do with God or Jesus or any of this Christianity stuff. And we mourn for that. We shed our own streams of tears for those who refuse to listen to us, especially for those who are closest to us who just will not listen. Because a Christian truly has the outlook of verse 131. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. I desire to do the good that is in there. I desire to have the Spirit lead me in a way that is pleasing to God. Therefore, he also says, keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity get dominion over me. And I wonder if when he is thinking of this, he's thinking of Cain. When God comes to him and asks, where is Abel? God tells Cain, why is your face fallen? Why are you angry? Sin is crouching at your door. You must master it, or it will master you. And well, we see what happens after that, is that he refuses to try to master his sin. He refuses to repent of his murder of his brother. And then begs for mercy from God, because if somebody comes after him, they're going to kill him. People don't quite get it. when they see that God's face is not shining on them. They see themselves in the shadows because they have walked out of the light of Christ. We're going to finish up with the Sade section, verses 137 to 144. Righteous are you, O Lord, and right are your rules. You have appointed your testimonies in righteousness and in all faithfulness. My zeal consumes me because my foes forget your words. Your promise is well tried, and your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is righteous forever, and your law is true. Trouble and anguish have found me out, but your commandments are my delight. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. My zeal consumes me because my foes forget your words. The zeal of the Lord will see to all the things that the apostles saw when Jesus cleared the temple of the money changers and those who sold the animals and all those who had turned a house of prayer into a den of robbers. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. They remember after he rose from the dead, according to John. This is the zeal that consumes us. This is the zeal of doing good that consumes us when we are entrenched in God's word. Even though we may be small and despised. Again, God used ordinary, small and despised people to do his work. I mean, no one was probably more despised among his disciples than Matthew, the tax collector. Considered by all of society, the lowest of the low, the greatest traitors to whatever city they lived in, because they collected the taxes for Rome. And, of course, typically pocketed a good portion for themselves as well. But then again, Jesus didn't come down to be born in Herod's palace. He didn't come down to be born in regal attire. He came and was born in a stable, lowly and despised by the world. And yet, through that, he brings salvation to us. Through that, his face shines upon us, giving us peace, helping us to understand the true joy of having the commandments of God, the Word of God, as our delight. So he finishes off this section. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I might live. Because by ourselves we cannot do this. But with him, we have the great understanding that even though we don't understand everything, we don't know what's going to happen to us, we don't know how everything is going to turn out, but we know who holds our lives, our present, and our future in his hands. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, that's it for this week as we continue to dig deeper into Psalm 119. Next week, we're going to finish it up with verses 145 to 176. And then we will get to move on to taking multiple psalms in a week instead of multiple weeks for a psalm. But through his word, through Jesus' incarnation, God's face shines on you, giving you peace. So that whatever the theologies of the world are doing, you may be empowered to wrestle with them, knowing that God will overcome all of them. Amen.